All right, we bring in the professor, and that is Ron Wotus. Well, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Marty. I'm doing well. I hope you are as well.
Yes, we are. Raf is under the weather, and he is off today, and Danny Dunn is taking his place. So I know you want to say something. Raf, we hope you feel better soon.
Yes, we definitely do. You know, I came down with something myself yesterday. The COVID test is negative, so I hope he recovers. I'm feeling a lot better today as well, so hopefully he'll get over it quick.
All right, good. Let's talk River Islands just for a second here. Colleen sent me a note this week. Four new neighborhoods are opening in River Islands. Well, four new neighborhoods. Can you imagine that? And we've been doing this spot for a couple of years now, and it seems like every few months, four new neighborhoods open up.
Well, there's a reason they keep expanding. It's a nice place to be. I mean, you know, you look at how big this place is already. Every year it's growing and it's growing. I know the real estate market has been hot, but, you know, I'm sitting here on my deck right now, and it's already warming up here in the Bay Area. And as your promo says about River Islands, you know, how would you like to live on a lake or walking distance to your school? You know, I think about all those waterways they have over there, and today is a perfect day to be out on the water.
I love it. All right, let's talk a little ball here. I guess the first question on my mind, and probably a lot of people, and look, you were a third base coach for many years, and Flan was as well, and Joey Amalfitano, and Mark Hallberg, welcome to the club, as Joey Bart got thrown out of the plate. And it's so much goes on through the mind of the third base coach. Well, we've talked about it for years, and here's Mark Hallberg, maybe his first big moment.
Yeah, and that comes to territory. That's what makes the position so difficult, and that's why you have to have thick skin to do that job, because you're going to have moments like that, and it's not easy, you know, especially when it's the last out of the game. You take it to heart. You take it hard, and I know Mark will as well, because, you know, you really feel terrible for the club when that happens. And you know, there's so much that goes into it, as you had just mentioned. And I know the obvious statements were, well, the guy's got a good arm, et cetera, et cetera. But I think you heard Cap say on the post-game show, people that were listening, that, you know, you hope that the throw's offline. It's hard to get a two-out hit. You know, if the throw's offline a little bit, short hops the catcher, you got a chance to score him. And, you know, he sent him, and the guy made a perfect throw. And that's a difficult part of the job.
Yeah, amazing. And, you know, I'll tell you something. You know, that baseball talks about, you know, more action in the game. Even though it didn't go the Giants' way, it's a very dramatic moment for the outfielder to throw to a base to get a runner. It still is one of the most dramatic moments I think we have in baseball.
I agree. You know, we talk so much about the hitting and the pitching and how the DH is in both leagues, but you know, a great defensive play, a throw from the outfield, those things are exciting. And I like to go back to the throw just a little bit, and I neglected to say this where I was going, is, you know, we know the outfielder has a good arm, but what we don't know is on the reports if he's accurate or if he's erratic. And that's one thing that I always looked at. And if a guy was erratic and you had a 50-50 chance of scoring somebody, you know, especially with two outs or even less opportunity, depending on the situation, if you know the guy's not very accurate, that's another reason that you take that risk. So there's a lot that goes into it, but you're exactly right. It was an exciting play in the game. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for us, but the defensive plays are something that have always interested me and brought excitement to the game, as you're saying.
Well, it's, as I always said, you coaching third base is like having a player at third base. Like, you're still at shortstop. You're still looking at everything on the field, and I think that's what made you successful in that third base coaching box. But, well, Cincinnati. You know, it's funny. I wanted to ask you, how's the food in Cincinnati? Because everyone makes jokes about it. And what's life like on the road in Cincinnati?
Well, you know, there's some great cities like Chicago, New York, Philly is a nice one as well. But Cincinnati, nothing against it, but the food options aren't quite as good. And, And the big thing that I was indoctrinated to when I first got to Philly was the Skyline Chili hot dogs. Matter of fact, we went across the river into Kentucky. Ron Peronowski was the pitching coach, and it was my first year. And we were out having a couple of pops, and he goes, well, you have to have the Skyline Chili dogs. You know, it's a fast food hot dog place, basically, is what it is. So we took a cab across the river. It was only a five-minute drive. Got the Skyline Chili dogs, and they put everything on that thing, Marty. And people back there know all about it, and that's what we had. And that's what stands out about the food in Cincinnati.
Well, it's funny. You know, the other thing about Cincinnati, is the mound different in the bullpen than the mound in the game? Because I know there was always that Matt Cain. Remember, everyone always complained about that.
Well, it could be. You know, you ran into that at several ballparks. I don't know what it's like now. You know, they can change year to year. You know, I really believe some of these parks would do that on purpose. But Major League Baseball, you know, has tried to really crack down on that. You know, years ago, I mean, many years ago, they probably weren't as regulated as they are today. But people check the mounds. They check the slope. Because, you know, teams want to get the advantage. They make that mound a little flatter for the visiting team, then they go out to the game mound, and it feels totally different. So those things used to go, no doubt about it, and I'm not sure what the case is today in Cincinnati.
Well, the Giants are lucky to get out of Cincinnati. I made my prediction Friday night. I said, they're not going to lose a game. And, of course, they ended up almost getting swept. And Longoria, well, I can't say enough about him, but this week, four home runs for him, and you saw three of them. Back against the Met in the Met series, but man, he hit it over the Latos sign, and he got it where he wanted to get it. But what about the week for Longoria?
Well, you know, he's capable of doing that, and that's a big lift for the Giants, no question about it. Yeah, you know, I'd like to add that, you know, he's had a difficult go when you miss all of spring training, and then you come back and in late May or early June, you know, the pitchers are ahead of the game, and you haven't had a ton of game at bats because you don't want to toil down in the minor leagues that long. So as soon as you feel you're healthy, a guy like him, he's going to go back into the lineup. And he's starting to find his stride, his rhythm, his timing, and it's showing up with the home runs because he's always been a prolific home run hitter. I mean, my God, I remember him in Tampa Bay. He would swing and miss. But, boy, he'd hit the home run. So it's good to see him getting his timing back and getting back to full speed.
Let's talk about the Met game at least. Come on, Tuesday night was the craziest game I think I've seen, maybe one of the craziest in franchise history. It ends up the Giants win the game with two runs to overcome the deficit in the ninth inning. But how about Jock Peterson and the week he's had?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Unbelievable game. Unbelievable performance. And we've only seen that performance three times in that ballpark. I've been fortunate enough to see all three. Obviously, there was Pablo Sandoval, Jock Peterson, and then the one that a lot of people probably don't remember. I believe it was on opening night in 2000, in the year 2000, is Kevin Elster, who you didn't expect to do that. But Jock has that kind of power. He's really turned into a very good home run hitter. Part-time player, home run hitter, and it was just unbelievable. Then the next night he hits one off a lefty, which was great to see because with the lineup being challenged with all the injuries we have and a couple of big left-handed bats out of there, you're going to see these lefties getting more opportunities against lefties. And Jock has that presence in the lineup. Pitchers know he's there, he's dangerous, and it's nice to see him get the opportunity to swing the bat against the lefty, and he hit a home run.
Boy, what a streak hitter, huh? You go 5 for 50, yes. And then he's the hottest hitter on the planet. I guess that streak hitters in baseball, I guess that's part of the game, isn't it?
Well, it is, and Cap told me that when we first got him because he knew him quite a bit, obviously. He said he was streaky, but when he's hot, he can carry a club, and he certainly did that night on that wacky night in that wacky game we had. He sure certainly was the difference.
I love it. All right. Buck Showalter made an interesting move in the game. And as long as we're talking about Jock, he had a right-hander pitch to him with two on and two out, of course. And the only thing that could hurt him would be a three-run homer. And sure enough, Jock hit the three-run homer to tie the game up 11-11. But he left the righty in, Drew Smith. And I did a little research. And I want, you know, Buck is a great manager. I said, why did he do that if he had a lefty ready? Well, this Drew Smith, his BABIP for balls put in play is 205, and he strands over 90% of the runners that he faces. So, well, I guess it's an old-time manager who stayed with the righty against the lefty because he saw this guy pitch well before.
I believe so. As you said, you know, I agree with everything you said about Buck being a great manager, and we know he's not afraid to go outside the box and do something against the book. And certainly he did there by leaving the right-hander in. I think everybody in the ballpark was shocked by it that he didn't go with the lefty in that scenario. And you just summed it up perfectly. Obviously, he had confidence in his right-hander. You know, Buck's a guy that says, hey, it doesn't matter if he's righty or lefty. If this guy makes his pitches, and not only Buck, a lot of baseball people, there's certain people you believe in and you're confident in, and you know if he makes his pitches, he can get them out just as well as the lefty. And I'm sure that was the case in that scenario. The only problem was it didn't work out. So now you get second guessed, and everybody gets to say, how do you not bring in the lefty? But I was surprised he didn't bring him in as well, and thank goodness he didn't, because Jock was able to hit another home run.
Yeah. Well, what a day. What a day. The Giants needed those two against the Mets because the two against Cincinnati didn't work out the first two games. An issue came up this week about Tyler Rogers. Well, and, you know, he gets this amazing soft contact on all the balls that are hit. Doesn't strike anybody out. He's one of the worst in baseball at strikeout percentage. But can you change the defense when he's pitching? Because people sort of speculated, you know, all these little top ground balls go for hits. Maybe you got to move in.
There are a couple things that we've always been aware with Tyler. Matter of fact, when he first got called up to the big leagues, our AAA staff told us, hey, don't shift against lefties with this guy. They swing late. You know what? They don't pick up his ball. So they were right on. If you notice, he very rarely shift with Raj on the mound. And that's held true for the last 3 years. And I think he's just had a bad stroke of luck with balls finding holes. Now, there's two points you make. One, we don't want to shift with him, but we do set the defense, you know, whether it's straight up or shade pull or whatever it is. But what makes it so hard is guys don't pick up his ball, and they hit the ball from line to line. They'll hit it right down the third baseline. They'll hit it right down the first baseline. And that's why it's tough to defend when he's on the mound. Then you mentioned the soft contact. And, you know, one thing we do as infielders, if you got a real fast guy up and he can run and you know a pitcher can get soft contact, you will play shallower just because of the runner's speed. You don't want him to get an infield hit. I think I mentioned to you on the show before, Hunter Pence didn't have a lot of soft contact when he hit, but he led the league in infield hits. And I used to tell the guys, look, I don't know where he's going to hit the ball. Let's play straight up. But I do know he's going to get an infield hit, so let's play shallower and take away the infield hit. So, you know, with the big slow guys, you typically don't do that. But if a guy can run, you will play shallower. And the other thing I think you have to do with Raj on the mound is let your players know. Just encourage them, because we set the defense so much today. But encourage them to do what they see. Use your instincts. If you see that late swing, move over more, even if you're playing opposite at your position. So I think those are a couple things that everybody's aware of. But, geez, they're just finding holes and they're getting weak hits off of them.
Boy, great point. Yeah, that's the professor. That's the professor on Sunday morning. Very good. The other thing I was thinking about with him, and it was a close game when they brought him in one of the last few games, and there's a runner on first, and I said, boy, he ought to go. Stay out of the double play, steal second and all this, and they never sent him. It seems to me, and I don't know what you can do with Rogers, and look, well, you're in charge of pitch outs and all this kind of stuff, but can't you run on him? It seems like he takes an awful long time to get to the plate. Once he commits, he's going to the plate.
Well, he's not as slow as you would think. He's in the 130s.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll lean a little bit early, but he gets the bear and he can ball to the plate pretty well. And he can slide step, and we would give that to him with a speed runner out there. So he has been one of the tougher guys in the league to run on because of that slide step he has.
Okay. All right. I was watching it, and I said, boy, it's a running situation. And all right, that's good. He is fast to the plate, and that answers that question. Another thing about the game the other night, so many things happened Friday night. I can't even begin to tell you how weird it was, including how about Jock Peterson and Tommy Pham about the fantasy football stuff? How about that?
That's crazy. I know everybody loves to play fantasy football. Matter of fact, since this incident, I've asked a bunch of players and people I've been around, and everybody loves it. I guess it's something, that you can do, while you're working. It's easy to do, and people love sports. And I know every season the team has their fantasy football draft. Every team I've ever been on, they'll get together in a banquet room at a hotel when they're ready to do that, and that'll be the beginning of it. But my God, I've never seen a weirder story in all my life. And a fight breaks out before the game. I mean, that just seems so ludicrous. I don't know what Pham was thinking.
Yeah, well, he got fined. Well, by being suspended, he lost $111,000. So I don't know what they play for in the league, but I'm not sure that was worth it. Let's put it that way. How about
that? Well, I didn't realize it was that much money. So, I guess, he didn't forget. And that was sticking with him for a long time. So that's a lot of money to lose.
Yeah, they take umbrage at that kind of stuff. All right.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. And Friday night, if that wasn't weird enough, Jake McGee comes into the game, and he's not on the lineup card. And, look, you've been down this road before, and players coming and going. And what happened there?
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, Marty, the biggest nightmare I had as a bench coach for those 19 years is making sure the lineup cards match. See, we have a wall copy that we put in the dugout, and then we have the official copy. There's usually three of them. You bring the home plate and give one to the umpire. The other team gets one, and we have one. And, of course, you send that over to the visiting team early to let them know what your lineup is. Well, today everything has changed. The lineup cards have to go through the league. They have to be approved. So you can't print your lineup cards out until all your roster moves are made, and you have to print it from them, from their system through Major League Baseball. So that complicates things a little bit more. But I got to tell you, I would stare at those cards, over and over. And sometimes, you wanted to match the wall copy to the home plate copies, and you would look through mistakes. So you would print these two out, and you would, give it to another coach to have him double check it. And, I never wanted anybody else printing the cards out. Well, in today's game, there's so much going on and with the league going on, we have administrative people printing out the lineup cards, which can be another problem because now you have different people doing it. And to sum it up, this happened to us years ago. It was a Fox game, a Saturday day game against the Dodgers. Nobody was watching. But anyways, we hit out of order, and I think some of your listeners may remember. And what happened here was we always did it by hand. I would print the lineup card out on a piece of paper, and I'd post it in the lineup. I'd send it to the press box. And the players would look at the board. Check the board. You heard that for a million years. Check the board. You don't want to know what time we stretch, what time we start tomorrow. Check the board. Well, today everything's done by phone, so that's out the window. But this one particular time, we came back from a road trip. We had a night game, and we had a day game at home. And our clubhouse staff, our traffic secretary, had a new electronic board that we could post the lineup on in the clubhouse. And he told me he wanted me to post the lineup. And I said, look, I don't have time. I got 2 hours to get ready to the game. I'm scrambling to get ready. It was a day game after night game, first day of the series. I said, look, you put it in. Here's the lineup. You put it in. I don't have time to deal with it. And I did that against my better judgment. But he was adamant. He wanted to use this new fancy board. Well, it was posted on that board differently. Posey and Sandoval were flip-flop on the electronic board that the players saw in the clubhouse and that the press people saw, because they looked at that. So it went up to the press box. So when the game started, you know, they had that lineup up on the board from the electronic board. My copies, the wall copy I have in the dugout and the copies that I hand into the umpires, they all matched. They all matched. The only problem was they matched, but we had Sandoval and Posey hitting in a different order. So sure enough, Posey gets a hit. He's hitting third. Here comes Don Mattingly when the game starts. We look down at our lineup card. We have instantly, Boach and I both thought, what the heck is this? And I'll tell you, the pit in my stomach, I felt like throwing up right there. Boach was certainly livid. We couldn't believe it, and we got embarrassed. So these types of things happen. I went a long way for that, but I can go on for days telling you about almost screw-ups with the lineup cards.
All right. Very good. I mean, it was crazy, but obviously it's part of baseball. Well, before we say goodbye on this Memorial Day holiday, you've been working at Sacramento with Villar at second base. And look, the guy's crushing the ball. And, you know, Twitter and all the fans who know this stuff right and left, they say, bring him up. What about Villar? What do you see with him?
Well, he's playing well, and that's really good to see. He's playing third base. He's playing first base. And he's getting indoctrinated to second base. So Jason Wood, the, you know, the infield guy, and then you have Holbert Cabrera up there. I've been up the last 3 days. We've been working with him at second base. And, you know, he's got a few things to learn at second base. And then there's the game speed and just all the things that happen in the game. So you want to give him some experience over there. But this guy's been off to a great start. He's got some kind of wrist, some kind of power for his size. He's really shocked me. And I see a good-looking player. I think he's going to have a chance to help the Giants. When that is, remains to be seen. I mean, there's no need to rush him at this point in time. This is his first year in AAA, so he hasn't really had the experience at the higher levels yet. But I expect he'll be there at some point.
Very good. Well, great to talk with you today. I'm glad to have you on. And we've got the Phillies today and this ballpark. It's a little ballpark. Well, home runs should happen in this place.
You're right. That's where Pat Burrell made his mark, right? The great Pat Burrell.
Yeah.
That left field flower box out there is very reachable. And even for a lefty, you know, it's kind of like our ballpark. It's short down the line, then it juts out with a high wall. But if you're a pull hitter from either side, the ball will go. And, you know, it's starting to heat up in the summer. And when the summer comes around, that's when the ball leaves the ballpark even better. So hopefully the Giants will get some home runs today.
You've had some good memories in that park, haven't you?
Oh, my God, have we? I mean, shoot. Great memories, obviously. Beating the Phillies to go to the World Series was at the top of the list with Brian Wilson on the mound. And what a great series that was. And, you know, I could go on and on. But great memories, great town. And I'm hoping the Giants can, you know, continue this winning streak and win this game in Philly today.
Well, thank goodness for Cody Ross, I'll tell you that.
That's right.
All right. Well, take care of yourself. Great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you next week, the Marlins next week. So the team will be down in Miami. So have a good holiday, and appreciate it. Be well.
All right, Marty. Thanks so much.